Welcome to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson, and today's guest is known as Mama D, a fellow podcaster working God's Word. She wants people to know that God's Word works, but we have to work it. She says we have been taught how to read the Word, stand on the Word, pray the Word, meditate on the Word, but we fail to receive the things God has told us He has already given to us. Approaching her 70th birthday, she has been a wife, she is a mother, and soon she will add the title of author to her repertoire, as she is currently working on a book focused on Psalm 91. Let's welcome Miss D. Price.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Jackie. I appreciate it. And thank you for having me here. This is exciting.
I'm excited to have you here because I love what you're saying about we have to work God's word. And you know, I have to hear the story behind that.
My mom had a sixth grade education. Mm-hmm. And she had me in her later years, and I was the only child of one parent. And so she worked nights. She found out that working the swing shift, you made more money. So she hired a woman to take care of me, and she went to work. She would get home at 12:30 at night. Something happened one day, and she had to come home early, and she went to the woman's house to pick me up. She found me, the door was open. I'm on the floor playing with whatever I was playing with. There was nobody in the house but me. This woman was outside, she was running the numbers. They'd be running numbers in the city. So she's out there doing her thing. Mommy took me home. And she said to the Lord, you know, I gotta work. You gave her to me and I'm giving her back to you, because if you can't keep her alive, what am I gonna do? Mm. I grew up on 163rd Street between Amsterdam and Edgecombe in New York City in the 60s. God kept me alive. Mm. That day she taught me the 23rd Psalm, and she made me learn it by heart. And she also taught me the 91st Psalm down the road, but she taught me the 23rd Psalm, and I was going out with this guy. He knew my mother worked nights, but this guy used to like to hit me. And I had never experienced anything like that. So I ain't no fool. I'm not going to stand there and let you beat me. So I left. But he knew my mother worked nights. And so he knew what time to come when nobody would be home. My mother had a 6-bedroom house in New York. And I'm sitting, doorbell rang, and I tiptoed to the front. And I looked at the people. It was him. I'm scared because I knew if he got in that house, he was going to kill me. So I went back to the other part of the house, and I'm sitting on the bed, and I just, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thou prepareth the table before me in the presence of my enemies, my cup runneth over. I went back and forth. I'm walking back and forth, and that's what I'm saying out of my mouth. And I heard him, we lived on the second floor, and I heard him trying to get in the front window. He had climbed up the fire escape. He was trying to get in the window. And I am, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. After a little while, I didn't hear him no more. I only got up the nerve. I tiptoed to the front of the house, and he was gone. Someone had come and scared him away.
Wow.
Never saw him again. That was the first time. Second time, I was 14. And I thought I was cute. And I'm just walking down the street. Nobody told me that people were watching me. I'm walking and I'm hanging out with the big girls because I thought I was all that. Well, one day I get to my building and I hit the door. And on my way upstairs, these two guys come out from under the staircase and they drag me up on the roof and they want to rape me. And I had one guy in the front trying to make penetration and the other guy in the back. And me in Psalm 91, he has given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. They heard Mr. Dave coming upstairs and they dropped me and ran. There was never any penetration. Those two things right there let me know that God's word works, but we can't just read it. So all my life, you know, when they've been teaching me about the word, I'm like, okay, well, this is what I need. Let me get the word. But it's still been hit and miss. Like, I can do it with healing and, you know, I'm not afraid of anything. When I walk down the street, I walk down the street with my angels. So I can do it with that. But there are other things that I still have not mastered because I have not learned exactly, or I'm still learning how to work that part of the word. But as far as our protection, and that's what's so important to me. That's why I'm so into Psalm 91, because Psalm 91 is our protection. And it doesn't, it's not just for those who are born again. It's not just for the Christians. It's not for just for the Jews. The Lord has proven to me that this psalm will keep us alive, but we gotta use it. Hope I didn't just go off.
a great lead in to what we need to know the story behind it. And then that is amazing that as a child, you use the word to protect yourself. A lot of times people will say, God is guiding me, God is guarding me. But you knew because what your mother taught you, you knew because you are using the word. So that message is powerful. I would love to hear more about, you know, you before you had talked about your growing up and the children in your neighborhood. And apparently you said you were one of six children to make it out of your neighborhood. Can you tell us more about that?
You know, we were sitting one day thinking about my friend Ritter, and that's how this conversation started. One day we were in the block playing and we saw this kid. He was coming down the street and he had the biggest smile on his face ever. And we're just like, okay, who are you? He's like, he told us his name was Ritter and that he had lived on the block all of his life. And we're just like, no, you haven't, because we lived on the block all our lives and we ain't never seen you. Apparently, he really did live on the block all of his life. He grew up with his grandmother and she was afraid that something was going to happen to him. So she kept him in the house all of his life. She kept him in there until she couldn't keep him in there anymore. He got too big for her and he wanted to get out. And so he did. And so Ritter was amazing. I remember one day my mother had gone to the store and she left us in the house. And these guys decided, let's run down the hallway and flip over the couch because it was nothing better for a 15-year-old kid to do, right? So these guys are running down the hallway and they're flipping over the couch. Ritter does it and his feet goes through the china cabinet. Mommy comes back and she just looks at him. She feeds everybody and then she puts them out because that's what Southern women do. You're going to eat, okay? But Ritter was just so much fun. But 2 years after he left and started coming out of the house and playing with us, he was dead. He started shooting heroin and he got a hold of some dirty needles and contracted yellow jaundice and died. And that right there was one of the things that helped to teach me about fear, about, you know, Job 3:23 or 3:25 says, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. We tie ourselves to the thing we fear. And that's when the Lord started teaching me how dangerous fear is, because what we fear, we bring into our lives. What we focus on becomes. That started that journey. And that also started the conversation one day when we were sitting in the park and just going through the names of kids that we used to play with that weren't around anymore, that had died. And we started naming names and we came up with 100. And out of those 100, six of us were still alive. Now, had you told me that I had a 94% chance of not seeing my 18th birthday, I would have laughed in your face. Yet here was the proof. Here was the proof.
So just, it's a shocking story. And when your mother taught you those psalms for you to use in your life, you know, she knew she wanted you to be one of the children to survive, even though you didn't realize the danger that was around you beforehand, you know. And so, first of all, we just thank God. Thank God that you are here. You are approaching your 70th birthday and that you can share this message. And I think it's a great message to parents and grandparents and even to younger people to listen and say, you know what? I can work this word of God for myself. You know, even if I just know just one verse, work it to the best of my ability to remind myself that God is here in my life. He is a part of my life, that I am not alone, you know, that he will walk with me and he will talk to me, that, you know, I am reminded daily that he is a part of my life. It's just such an empowering message about working God's word. Let's talk a little bit about this book. I know it's going to be based on Psalm 91. What is it that you want people to receive from the book?
I want people to know that it doesn't matter if you are a born-again Christian. It doesn't matter if you are Jewish. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. And this is my own personal opinion, so don't be like trying to cancel out Mama D. God has given us, I believe, Psalm 91 as protection. So let me tell you why I believe that. There's a guy, if you YouTube a man by the name of Hardy Higgins, H-A-R-D-I-E-H-I-G-G-H-E-G-G-I-N-S, Hardy Higgins. However you spell it is coming up. So this is the deal. Hardy Higgins was a chaplain in the Iraqi war. They sent him over there and gave him a brigade of over 6,000 men, women, however, soldiers, 6,000 soldiers. He contacted Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and Kenneth Copeland Ministries used to give out these Psalm 91 cards. So he got enough for everybody over there. And he gave these cards out. And he told another part of the story that's not in the video, but they made them learn Psalm 91, almost like the order of the day. If they stopped you and said verse 4, you better be able to recite verse 4. He tells a story about them being in a firefight and they're coming back and some kind of missile was shot. They were going in an overpass. The Iraqis were over them. They shot this missile. The thing hit the back of the car, dropped, rolled over, went that way, and then exploded 20 feet in front of them. The man said he didn't believe in God, but he was beginning to wonder, okay? That statement alone meant that those 6,000, not all of those 6,000 knew God. There was not one injury. There was not one fatality for the entire tour. You know, now we're talking about a government that because of the atrocities of war, the government will bring in drugs, the government will bring in women, the government will bring in whatever it is to keep these men with some sort of semblance of, okay, we're gonna walk through this and keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. Not one fatality. Psalm 91 is for everybody. It will keep you alive. It will keep you safe. It doesn't matter who you are, what your skin color is, what your nationality is. It doesn't matter. There are too many children dying. Every time I turn around, I'm reading something where this 4-year-old was shot. This 5-year-old was in the car with his mother and got shot. These two guys were having an argument. They decide to pull guns out, and this woman loses her child. We need to learn that Psalm 91 is our protection. There are too many babies dying. That's why I'm doing this. He has given his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They bear you up in your hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. 1,000 might fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, they not coming near me. When I send my child to school, I'm not worrying about my child about somebody coming in and shooting anybody, because either my child won't be in there that day or the angels have got them. I'm not worried about my child. I don't worry about my black sons. I don't. I trust this psalm to protect my children, to protect my family, to protect me. And I want families to know that God is no respecter of persons. If he's doing it for me, he'll do it for you too. You just have to work the word.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. Tell people how they can connect with you on social media and about your podcast as well.
Well, the podcast is called Working God's Word. So I met this woman. She was the last woman that I met right before we found out that my husband was sick. And it was a setup by the Lord, because we met her at a Christian conference we were at. And she started something called NAPOD Promo, which is National Podcasting Post Month, where for the month of November, you get together and you post a podcast one a day. It's called Failing Forward for 30 days. So I did it on fear the first year, and I was supposed to continue, and I didn't, because Larry had just died, and I'm just like, I was devastated. This man was my life. I loved him so much, and we had 42 years, and praise God for the 42 years, but he's supposed to still be with me. But so I stopped, and then the Lord started letting me know that I needed to get this message out. So I'm like, all right. So I started it again, and this time I continued. So it's called Working God's Word, and it's workinggodsword.podbean.com. And I'm about to do my 95th episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit 100.
Yeah. And then what other social media pages are you a part of?
I am Dee Price. Okay, so I keep trying to start stuff and it just does not work. I'm trying to get better to post every day. The fact I'm about to hit 70, and the fact that I'm even on social media is like a miracle in itself. But I need to get that consistency going and stuff like that. But I am on, you can find me Dee Price, and you can email me at d@workinggodsword.com. And let's see, what else? I have a website. But I started it before the Lord started changing and teaching me what he's teaching me now. You know, Larry Price was the love of my life. When I met this man, it was like 7 years before I even realized there was another man on the earth. That's how in love I was with him. And almost up until he died, if you saw the two of us, you'd see him grab my hand. He was just a gentleman. He was supposed to be here with me. God, you know, in Genesis 6:3, it says that man's days shall be 120 years. God gave us 120 years. We begin to talk ourselves into the grave. We look at stuff. There's a bunch of stuff going on, but we're supposed to have 120 years. And when he got sick, I couldn't get through to him for like almost 3 weeks. He had watched his father die of cancer, and we live in that. I had never been with anybody that died of cancer, or we just don't get sick. So I didn't understand what was going on. What I knew was when he got that diagnosis, he was supposed to laugh and he was supposed to get into the word and work the word, and he did not do that. So I got pissed off, not at God, at him. But I started asking the Lord, I'm like, you know what, Lord? There were too many people who are dying from this disease. Now you came and you told us that you was going to the Father, and because you went to the Father, we were supposed to be doing the same things that you did, and we're not. What is the deal? Because when we pray for people, we're begging and we're pleading and we're asking you to come and heal them, and sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. Yet when you pray for people, they're healed. What's the deal? And so he said to me, when you pray for people, you're begging me to come and heal them. I'm like, yeah. He's like, what did I say in my word? Immediately, 1 Peter 2:24 came up. By his stripes, you were healed. He said, when I pray for people, I see them as we created them, already healed and whole. And I got it immediately. When I lay hands on them, I don't see them in the position that they're in now. I see them the way he created them, up and running. I see them playing with their grandchildren. I see them playing ball. I see them whatever it is you want to do. That's the way we're supposed to see them. So he's had me on a journey of learning how to use my imagination. He took me to Genesis 11:6, which is the Tower of Babel. So they're building this tower, and God says, okay, let's go down and see what's going on. And then they come and see. And the thing, Genesis 11:6 says, the people are one, and they all have one language, and now nothing that they imagine to do will be withheld from them. Nothing that we imagine to do will be withheld from them. So let me ask you this. Why do you think COVID spread so fast? They were out there spreading that fear, and the people are imagining themselves dying. Boom. New Orleans. They kept talking about the big one, the big one, the big one, the big one's coming, the big one's coming, the big one's coming, until the big one did hit. Now, all of a sudden, everybody has a picture of this, of Katrina, and all of the devastation and all of the stuff that happened afterwards. This past year, 6 hurricanes hit that shore. Why? Because now they've got something to tie their fear to. And they're not understanding that what you fear, you tie yourself to. That's why I'm doing this. There's too much fear being spread. We've got to get our focus off of what we don't want and begin to focus on the things we do.
Yep.
That's my message.
As you have given a powerful word, and we thank God for this word that you have given today. People, make sure you connect with her. Connect with this powerful work, connect with her podcast. You will not regret it. Thank you again for being here. We truly appreciate you. And people, until the next time, we love you. Stay tuned for the next episode.